I'm about to tag in on this one now. Oh, my God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, bro. Hallelujah. First of all, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, she don't just sing a song, she rip it to pieces. She tears it up. I am so glad to be here again. Only Bill Veronica Winston. Wherever they need me. Only these guys right here, you understand? I'm gonna tell you. God. Oh, sorry, got you. I mean, I'm in the middle of a convention on the way there. But I love this man and woman of God. I thank God for you so much. I love y'all so much. Oh, I love him so much. My billionaire buddy. You know, when you want to talk to somebody about other things that folks won't understand you, I call him. Bill, I just had a revelation. We gonna need to get one of them space. They just retired one of them shuttles, man. We need to get one of them things, man. They might discover that there's life on Mars and we got to go preach the gospel there, man. We got to have one of them things. Woo! I am so stirred up, so happy. I feel like I drunk a Red Bull. I need to calm down, amen. I didn't come here tonight to teach on something you don't know. In fact, because your pastors have done such an excellent job of ministering in the subject of the kingdom, and for you understanding that is the only reason why I'll be able to say some of the things I'll say here tonight. So let's get right into it. Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to minister to these, your precious sheep. Thank you, Lord, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. Father, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind, none of me and all of you. Thank you, Lord, that I will have sweet lips tonight, that learning will increase. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Give me a handkerchief. Handkerchief or a Kleenex. When you get to Matthew chapter 6, I want you to meet me at verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Thank you. Jesus is speaking here, and he's talking about possessions and masters, and he says something so awesome. In verse 21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In other words, what you value and what you have, great value in, that's where you're going to find your heart. But he goes to verse 24 and he says something so awesome. No man can serve two masters. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. No man, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. And yet, there are lots of people in the body of Christ still trying to serve two masters. Now why? He says, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon, or Mammon is that's that system that was born out of the Babylonian system, a worldly system, a worldly way of doing things, a system that goes against the word of God. He says you cannot serve God and the Babylonian system or Mammon. Now listen in the Amplified. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll stand by and be devoted to the one and despise the other. When you despise something, you dishonor it. When you despise something, it doesn't carry weight with you. When you despise something, it doesn't weigh in. He says you'll be devoted to one, despise, and be against the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Or listen to me, you cannot serve the kingdom system and the world system at the same time. Now, let me say this before I start. I love you. I am motivated and moved to say what I say tonight because I love you. And I'm tired of seeing you in lack. I'm tired of seeing you living from paycheck to paycheck. I'm tired of seeing you sick. I'm tired of seeing you being used as a puppet by governments and systems. That's not God's best. There exists two systems right now where we are today. There is the kingdom of God system, and there is the world system. You cannot serve God, the kingdom system, and the world, the Babylonian system, the world system, at the same time. You can't have one foot in God's system, another foot in the world system, because you ain't gonna be walking right. And yet people still try to go against this. We continue to mix systems. And you can't do that. You're gonna either love the one or hate the other, or you're gonna honor one and dishonor the other. But you cannot serve two systems at one time. And so tonight we're gonna have to make a choice. Dr. Winston's been telling us the answer. He's wrote books about the answer. I'm just here tonight like an uncle saying, listen to what your daddy already told you. In the world system, the world has a way of dealing with sickness. The world has a way of dealing with lack. The world has a way of dealing with your emotions. In the kingdom system, God has a way of dealing with lack. God has a way of dealing with your emotions. God has a way of dealing with sickness. But in the world system, there are limitations. In the world system, if you will look, ladies and gentlemen, just lately, listen, the systems are crumbling. You know that we're $15 trillion in debt. That's just above the glacier. Below the glacier is $120 trillion of debt. This system's broken. In this system, you might have a sickness, but the world may not have a cure yet. In this system, you may have lack, but you might not qualify in this system. In this system, you may be the wrong color, may be from the wrong neighborhood. There are lots of limitations in this system. And what's going to happen when this system begins to fail in a lot of areas? What's going to happen when they can't provide the food for you anymore? What's going to happen when they don't have the cures for you anymore? What's going to happen where even they don't even know how to deal with your emotions anymore? The evidence is before you. It's crumbling. So what do you do when you show up for your Social Security check and it doesn't exist anymore? What do you do when you go to your bank in the world and it's shut down? What are you gonna do? But over here in the kingdom system, the Bible says that in his kingdom, there is no end. There's no end here. No matter what sickness you got, the cure is in the kingdom. No matter how bad your lack is, the cure is in the kingdom. Whatever's going on with your finances, the cure is in the kingdom. And as born again Christian people, God has allowed you to get born again so that you can learn how to reap from the kingdom, so that you don't have to continue to go and borrow in the world and then come on here to the kingdom and try to get Jesus to pay it off. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Or come over here and get sick in the world and come over here and see if you can get Jesus to heal you. Get a bad report and we come over to the world and we try all of their doctors, we try all of their medications, and we try all of that. And I love the testimony I heard tonight. They understand that the power, it wasn't the treatment that healed them, it was the power of God that healed them. Are you listening to what I'm saying? What are you going to do when that fails? We love to say, well, there's always, you know, we've tried this, we've tried that, but there's always prayer. No, you should have did that first. So listen to me. We've got to make a choice. Everything you ever need for your life is available to be reaped from the system of God. My faith is at an all-time high. I'm believing for everything. It's my, Taffy and I, we agree on this. You mention it in front of her, she'll turn into like a lion, because we have made our mind up. Live or die, we're in the kingdom of God. No more of this going over there and working a little of that and working a little of this. It's all right here. If God can't do it, it ain't gonna be done. And it ain't nothing that God can't do. Now watch this. Jesus now begins, when he says that, he moves down and he begins to talk about anxiety, worry, and the kingdom of God. He starts at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought or worry for your life. Now I'm telling you, you got a lot of people in the world today that are worried about their life. He said, don't take thought about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than clothes or raiment? Now, listen to this. This is a serious thing. He says, look, don't take thought, don't take care for your life. We're not supposed to be taking care for our lives. We're not supposed to be worried about our lives. That's not what it is in the kingdom. In the kingdom, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're not supposed to be taking care, you know, whether there's a recession or an inflation. If it's a recession, we don't participate. And if it's an inflation, if gas goes up to $20 a gallon, you'll have it. We don't take care. We don't take care. I love what Brother Copeland says. He said, I can't tell you how much I don't care. Take no thought. He said, look at the fowls. Look at the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And we are. He says, look at the birds. Are you not much more better than they? I take care of them. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? Why take ye thought for your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Look at what he's saying here. Look at what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you're worried about your food. I take care of the birds of the air. You're worried about your clothes. I clothe the lilies of the field. And yet Christian people say, well, Pastor Dollar, I believe that God can do that. Oh, do you? Oh, do you? Why is it that we can't reap from the kingdom consistently and daily? Why? What's missing? How come we can't reap from the kingdom? Look at what he says here. He's going to tell you why. He's going to tell you why. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Did you hear what he just said? I want to clothe you, but you don't have faith for me to clothe you. I want to feed you, but you don't have faith for me to feed you. I want to pay your bills, but you don't have faith for me to pay your bills. Look at what we just said. Here's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's an issue of trust. Do you trust that God can take care of you? Do you trust that God can clothe you? Do you trust that God can pay your bills? During the time of recession, it was the greatest growth that our ministry experienced worldwide. You understand what I'm saying? Our church is not just paid for, but all of our churches are paid for. You understand what I'm saying? Worldwide, offices, everything, no deficits, nothing. Why? Because I had to answer this question. Do I trust that God can take care of me? And I'm asking you to answer that question. Do you trust, do you believe that God can take care of you? Because listen, if you wake up in the morning and you don't think that God can take care of you, go outside and find a bird. And remind yourself, he doesn't sow, he doesn't reap, he doesn't gather in the barns, but God is taking care of him. Go outside and find some lilies. God clothed the lilies of the field. He can take care of you. Say this out loud. I believe that God can take care of me. All right, now what does he need? Faith. He needs faith. I want to feed you, but do you have faith for it? I want to clothe you, but do you have faith for it? See, that's the only way you're going to reap from the kingdom of God is by faith, not by tears, by faith. Not by pain, by faith. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. I said he's not a respecter of person, but he is a respecter of faith. Where is your faith? See, we can get in all these little popular sermons and all these popular words, and ain't none of them no good if you ain't got no faith to reap from the kingdom. All right, now watch this now. Now, look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? He said, that should not be a worry of yours. That should not be a concern of yours. If I say I trust God, then I'm going to have to learn the value of rest. Because when you trust God, ladies and gentlemen, trust is going to produce rest, and rest is going to produce results. You got to wake up. Oh, I trust God. And then here's the evidence. I'm resting. No worry, no care, no complaining. I believe what he said. I receive it. You know, when you receive something, you take possession of it like it's yours. When you say, I receive what he said about my healing, I receive what he said about my prosperity, you are now saying, I got it. And if you keep receiving it like you possess it, then you'll get pregnant with it. So now you receive it, and you go from receiving to conceiving. And once you conceive, you're pregnant with it, then you can give birth to it. But it starts with possessing it like it's yours, then getting pregnant with it, and then giving birth to it. I don't read a scripture and just say, well, by stripes I'm healed. Now, when I receive that scripture, by stripes I'm healed, it goes from by stripes I'm healed to I'm healed. I'm healed. What am I doing? I've received it. I'm healed. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. It goes from my God shall supply all my needs to pay for. Got it. Yes, Lord. You have to receive the sperm before you can conception can take place, before you can give birth. We just can't come to church to hear the word. You got to receive it. Conception's got to take place because you spend time with it. And once conception takes place, you're going to hear something, and then you're going to give birth to it, and ain't nobody going to be able to scare you. No news report, nobody, because you already know what you're pregnant with. And if you don't, it's no longer a matter of the issue, it's just a matter of the time. Are y'all listening to me now? I'm going somewhere with this now. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He says even unsaved people are concerned about these things being met. People in the world's system, they're concerned about this. Watch what he tells us. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God says, I already know what you need. How many of you got needs in here tonight? Raise your hand. God says, you know what? I just thought about something. I don't have no needs. Somebody say, oh, you need something. I ain't got no needs. I can't even tell people what to get me for my birthday. Give me an extra pair of drawers. You know, I don't know. My spiritual sons, they don't even know what, I don't need nothing no more. You know what that's called? Fullness. Nothing missing, nothing wanted, and nothing needed. Now listen to me now. You're sitting up here looking at me like something wrong with me, and I'm telling you this is the standard for the people that operate in the kingdom. But you gotta be able to handle it now. Most people ain't got no problem with your blessings as long as they don't see the result of it. But Isaac sold in a land, and they had no problem with him until they saw what came up. And the Bible says, and the Philistines envied him. If you're going to be blessed, you're going to be envied, you're going to be hated, you're going to have haters multiply. Some people going to hate you, don't even know you, they just seen what you got. And once they see the results of your blessing, if you can't handle the hater, you can't handle the blessing. All right, listen to me. This has got to be the standard. Fullness has got to be the standard. We look at two or three Christians and we think, oh, they're really blessed. No, the blessing has got to be the standard. You know when Jesus said, I believe in Matthew 4, he says, the kingdom of God, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know what he said? Change your thinking. Repent. Repentance is a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction. It literally means to change the mind, to change the way you think. He said, the kingdom is at hand, change the way you think. Why? Because you can't reap from the kingdom of God with a worldly mindset. Oh, Lord, let me say this. Let me say this. The kingdom of God, listen, the kingdom of God is just that, a kingdom. All right, here we go now. It's going to start a revival, all right. Democracy works fine in nations. But the kingdom of God is not a nation. It's a kingdom. It has a king. It's not based on popular vote, voting polls, or popular opinion. Democracy, at best, ladies and gentlemen, will leave you in a position where you don't get results. At worst, it could put you in a position of danger. You cannot function in the kingdom of God with a democratic mindset. What are you talking about? Well, I think it ought to be. No, that ain't how the kingdom works. It's already been settled in the kingdom. It ain't about what you think. Well, my opinion, no! The king has already decreed. So when you deal with the kingdom of God, the democratic mindset has got to go away. You've got to read the Constitution, which is the Word of God. You've got to keep the law, which is faith, in order to reap from the kingdom of God. But you can't go in the kingdom with a democratic mindset and go trying to vote on whether or not you still think fornication is right or wrong. That's not how it works. If the kingdom has already decreed that you ought to live an abundant life to the full till it overflows, it doesn't require a vote for you to receive that I'm supposed to live in abundance. It just requires faith. I have abundance. Are you following me now? Now I'm trying to calm down, but y'all got me wired. Are you see that now? So it's got, the kingdom is at hand. Repent, change your thinking. Repent, change your thinking. Repent. I heard somebody say the other day, we don't choose our futures. We choose our habits, and then our habits choose our future. What kind of habit you got? A worldly habit or a kingdom habit? And now listen to this now. So it goes on here. He says, your heavenly Father knows what you need. He know what you need. Now, here's the deal. We think, well, if he knows what I need, why don't he just go and give it to me? That ain't how it works. God knowing what you need. I mean, he know I need to pay my rent. Where that? Where that, God? That's not how it works. Well, maybe if I just shout it out. That ain't how it work. Praise God for your rejoicing. But every night, listen, folks, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not against the praise and I'm not against the shout. But if all you got is just a shout. That's just like having an egg and nothing to cook it in. Well, here's my bill. I need to pay my bill. I'll shout it out. Hey, oh, ah, pick the bill up in the head of voice and say, I still need to be paid. Lord, you know. We've been doing that all our life in the church. Somebody now tries to teach you about the principle of the kingdom of God, and you just sit there and just say, you know what? God know my heart. Yeah, he know your heart. He know you're broke because you're lazy and you don't ever do none that's required by the kingdom. He know your heart, all right. So he's not moved by need. He's not moved by tears. He's moved by faith. How's that you, Bill? I heard you say this. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. We got to start spending some of that currency. And now listen to this, verse 33. Lord have mercy. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto thee. But seek, aim at, strive after first of all his kingdom. Now, I got to pause right here. Years, I first got wind of this when my wife began to do a series on first things first. I read this scripture, verse 33, and all I could see, I just heard this. If the kingdom does not become your priority, you have no right to reap from it. It can't be secondary. It can't be, well, I done tried everything in the other system, so might as well now try God. No, the kingdom has got to be chosen, honored, and prioritized. God's kingdom has got to be chosen, honored, and prioritized. The Amplified says, seek first or aim after God's way of doing and being right. See, God has a way of being right, and then there is a way that seems right unto a man. Now, we don't want to go to the way that seems right, because that in the end of that is what? Destruction and death, right? We want to go to the way that is right. So God's way, seek God's way of getting healed. Seek God's way of dealing with your lack. Seek God's way of dealing with your children. Seek God's way of dealing with all the issues you have in life. Seek God's way, but he must be priority. Have you made God's way priority? Here's the deal. Trouble comes. Just a little quick illustration. Trouble comes. You get bad news. The doctor just told you something, or you just got, you know, served, somebody suing you, you know, claiming that you, you know, killed their cat. All right. The first thing you do when you've made the kingdom priority, this is the first thing you do. The trouble comes. Here's the first thing you do. Where's my Bible? All right, now, what are you looking for? You're looking for a promise that covers this trouble. And you don't need a lot of them, because when a man wants to grow corn, he just goes and gets some corn seed, right? All right, so here is what I'm gonna use for this trouble. All right, because I'm leaning on the kingdom. It's priority. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I'm gonna just meditate on this. Amplify says, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, this righteousness, this security, this triumph over opposition. This triumph over opposition, this victory over opposition is your inheritance. All right. The trouble came. Now I got what I'm going to use. I'm on the kingdom now. I went to the Bible and I got some incorruptible seed, because I'm getting ready to grow some victory. Whatever you don't have, you can grow it. Yeah, but I need money. You can grow it. Yeah, but I need peace. You can grow it. Yeah, but I need deliverance. You can grow it. But you can't grow nothing if you don't go get no seed. A farmer can't grow no corn if he don't go get no corn seed. If the seed is in the barn, in the bag, then he can't grow no corn. He got to take the seed out the barn, out the bag, put it in the ground, do the job he's supposed to do, and it'll grow up. We are nothing but spiritual farmers. When something shows up in our life, we go and get the Bible off the coffee table, get the word out the Bible, put it in the ground of our heart, take it through our eye gate, our ear gate, our mouth. When you say it, you sow it. 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 Put it in the ground of your heart. Now you're working on something. People think something's going on with you, but you're working on something. Now, how you work on it is going to determine whether you get 30, 60, or 100-fold. If you speak the word and meditate on it 30% of the time, but then the other 70%, you're talking a bunch of doubt and unbelief, that's why you got 30-fold. And if you're speaking and meditating on the word 60% of the time, and the other 40%, you're talking a bunch of doubt and unbelief, that's why you got 60-fold. But if you want 100-fold, then you got to make sure that 100% of the time you're speaking the word, thinking the word, meditating on the word, you're not acting weird, you're just working on something. And whatever you don't have, you can grow it. Whatever you don't have, you can grow it. That's God's way of doing it. Trouble come, go to the word, take the word, take it in your eye, your ears, your mouth, get it in your heart. Make sure the weeds don't come in, cause words will grow in your heart, both negative or positive. So make sure you get the word of God and protect your entrances from receiving any other kind of seed that tries to come in and choke what you're working on. Oh, y'all got to understand what I'm saying. Because the measure of thought and study that you give to a thing will determine how you reap the power and virtue that comes up out of it. So the issue of why Christian folks are not really walking in an abundant life like they're supposed to, they're too lazy. They won't go get the word. They don't think it take all that. But you're still broke, you're still sick, you're still average. You're still living from paycheck to paycheck. You're still dependent on a broken system. You're afraid to leave the world system because that's all you've ever known. And Jesus said, my kingdom is at hand now. Choose me. Make me priority. Take my incorruptible seed. Get it in your heart. Try me. Watch and see what I do. Give the kingdom the opportunity to show you that you can reap from the kingdom. Somebody asked me one time, they said, Doc, are you rich? My reply was, extremely. Extremely. You don't see me apologizing? So see, now y'all choking right now. See, blessings not known are blessings that are not envied. I'm so doggone rich, I can take money and throw it on a mule, wet the mule up, and then set it on fire while the mule run. Black brother. Just recently got my own FBO. Y'all don't even know what that is, do you? Something like, FBO, what do you mean? That's all right. You'll understand because from the night on, you finna rise. I'm speaking faith. Y'all got to stay with me. You're choking already. That's why I don't share a lot of my testimony, because you can't listen to me no more. You start thinking about, wonder how much money you got. Where you get it from? I got it from the kingdom. How? I got it from the kingdom. I do what I'm telling you to do. I go get that word. I stick it in my heart. I grow it, glory to God. I grow it. I don't care how much my payroll is. I grow it. I sow it, then I grow it. I make no apology for being rich. I make no apology for being healthy. I make no apology for being blessed. I make no apology for having every or anything that God says I can have. I make no apology. The world's not supposed to understand this. They're operating in a different system. I am now trying to expose to the body of Christ what the kingdom of God has available for you to reap from if you'll do what I just said. Go get the word, plant it in your heart, live right, do right, act right so it can grow right. Well, I tell you what, I guess the preachers ain't gonna invite you to preach them. I don't need no invitation to go preach. I got enough preaching to do of my own. If nobody never invited me to preach, never again in life, I still would be extremely busy preaching. Why? Because I get my instructions to preach from the kingdom. So then I don't ever have to be a hireling. Y'all, let me stop. I forgot we was on TV. Let me be nice. All right, now. So the issue is that the kingdom has got to be priority. You got to believe in it so much, it's the priority. You can't be going to him talking about, well, you know, I know what God said, but I mean, he expect us. He don't expect you to mix systems. Faith is the order for the kingdom. Let me show you real quick now. Habakkuk chapter 2, or table of contents. Find Nahum and go right. I am never going to agree with my haters. I'm going to send them a card and thank them for hating me, because it was through their hating that allowed me and helped me to be determined to develop above their hating. And that's the first deliverance you got to get when you get in the kingdom, deliverance from people. You're not going to be free to do what God called you to do if you keep worrying about what they're going to think if I wear this, what they're going to say if I drive that. Yeah, but what they're going to say if I live in this kind of house. And, oh, I got to hide my Mercedes behind in the backyard. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I just told you, money's not first. God's first. The kingdom's first. But he's got things he wants you to reap from the kingdom. Healing, deliverance, finances, peace, healthy marriage. He wants you to reap from the kingdom. And it's going to require faith to do that. And you're around here struggling, depending on the world's broken system, to one day, maybe one day if you get lucky. Because that's the system they operate in. Luck. And then some of you, you know, came here tonight, see if I can get some numbers from Doc. You know, when I went to Isaiah 54, 17, you said 54, 17. Habakkuk 2, 2. The kingdom doesn't operate on the luck system. The kingdom operates on the blessed system. When the luck system is in operation, only one person can win. But when the blessing system is in operation, everybody can participate in the blessing. Habakkuk chapter 2. I hope y'all with me. I know I feel like I'm all over the place. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Read it with me. Ready? Read. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith, his faith. The Amplified says, the righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. In other words, can God depend on you to live a life of faith? Can you be faithful with living by faith? Talking about trust, can God trust you to live by faith? Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. I have got to get to this point. Romans 1, 17. Let's read verse 17 out loud together. Ready? Read. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how? The just shall live how? Who shall live by faith? All right, now notice, the just are those who have been declared righteous. The just are those who are born again. How many of you are born again tonight? All right, you are the just, all right? Now, the just shall live by a prescription. And that prescription for your life, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The world system's passed away. The kingdom system has become new. The just shall live. Notice faith is not a movement. Notice faith is not a movement. Faith is not a movement. Faith is the way that saved people live. And as long as you are living, faith is still around. It's not going to go away. It's the prescription for everybody that gets saved. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 11. Read verse 11 out loud with me. Ready? Read. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live. The just shall live how? The just shall live how? Who shall live by faith? Who shall live by faith? For you not to live according to the prescription, faith would be an act of perversion. Because you are no longer equipped to live like you used to live in the system you used to be in. And that's why stuff won't work if you get saved for a new way of living, but you're now saved and keep living the old way by the old system. It's an act of perversion. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Let's read 38 out loud together. Ready? Read. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall... Look at that. The just shall live how? The just shall live how? Who shall live by faith? Are you the just? All right, if you're not, we can make that happen tonight before you leave. You have been declared righteous. This prescription is clear. Now that you are born again, now that you are saved, you must now understand that you live a prescribed way by faith. All right, now listen to me carefully. That's serious. If I'm supposed to live by faith and I'm still struggling with what faith is, then I could spend half my life trying to live by a faith that I don't quite understand. Are you listening to me? The just shall live how? Four times you've heard him say, four times that we should live this way. So the other issue is the fact that if I'm not going to live the way he said to live, then I can't expect to have what he said I can have. It's insanity. It's insanity for you to think that something different is going to happen in your life after you get saved, but you keep living like you were before you got born again. Expecting something different, but still doing it the same way. And so when the word is working in people's lives, you look at them like they're doing something wrong. When they're living in abundance, you're looking at them like something wrong with them. And since in the world system, the only way a man can be wealthy and live right and have nice things is they got to steal and cheat and do something wicked to get it. So when you see people like that, you only have a mindset based on what the world gave you. They must have stole. They must have did something wrong to get it. Something must be wrong there, because that's not supposed to be in their hands unless they did it that way. It's because you're ignorant of the kingdom way that says if you live right and walk by faith and walk in love and walk in forgiveness and sow that word in your heart. So the obvious thing to deal with now is, what is it? Oh, Brandon and I, we know that. I know. I told you I didn't come here to tell you something you didn't know. Hebrews 11 and 1. Got to find out what it is. We got to get on the same accord. Read verse 1 out loud. Ready? Read. It's the substance of things. It's evidence of things. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. When I first read that, I knew no more about faith, Bishop, after I read that scripture. It sounded deep.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not even seen.
The Amplified says, now faith is the assurance, the confidence, the title deed of the things hoped for, being the proof of things that have not been revealed. And now listen to me now. What do we know? We understand a title deed. If you bring me the title deed to your car, I don't need to see the car. Because the title deed tells me that the physical car exists somewhere. If I have a confirmation number, you know, tonight I'm flying into a city and I got a confirmation number. If I go to the desk and they say, I'm sorry, we don't have a room for you, I'm not gonna panic. I'm like, hold on a minute, I have a confirmation number. You ready? Because what I know is the confirmation number lets me know that there's a room in this hotel somewhere. I don't know if they got to build it real quick or put somebody out or I get a free night in the presidential, but I got a room somewhere because I got a confirmation number. I have assurance because of the confirmation number. I have an assurance because of the title deed. Is everybody with me?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
So don't let me find my title deed in this Bible. I don't need to feel healed. I don't need to see the money. All I need to find is that title deed. If I find that title deed, my healing, my money, my provision exists somewhere. I got a confirmation number that this bill is paid. I got a confirmation number that I'm healed. I got a confirmation number. Isaiah 54:17 is my title deed, that every opposition that come towards me, I will have victory over it because it is my inheritance. It's my title deed. That's my confirmation number. All right, now watch this now. We're almost there. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So obviously, if faith cometh by the word, there must be some connection between the word and faith if I'm gonna get faith when the word comes. If I'm standing correctly, no word means no faith. Little word means and much word means. Okay, so let faith equal the word of God. Now the word of God is the substance of things hoped for, and the word of God is the evidence of things not seen. For the just shall live by the word of God. All right, we're still not there yet. That's some pieces now. Now let's put it all together. You know you gotta have a word, no word, no faith. So if you're too lazy to get in the word, you're too lazy to get faith. Quit using your Bible as a place to hide the money cause you know ain't nobody gonna find it cause don't nobody ever open it up. And see, this is what I'm saying. In order for us to understand about the kingdom, we got to start seeing church attendance as like going to school. You spent years educating yourself to how the world system operate, and then time we start teaching on how the kingdom operate, we're going to stick the hand away. Well, I see y'all later. I got to go. You ought to just say bye-bye with your broke self. I ain't going nowhere. All right, now, so we do know that. We know faith and the word of God are connected. We know that that word contains our title deed. That word contains our confirmation. Okay?
I searched all this time. I wrote a book 20 years ago. Last 2 months, I celebrated 30 years in the ministry. I wrote a book 2 years after I was in the ministry, and ain't nobody paying no attention. I'm telling you, the answer was given way back then. I'm telling you, Doc already gave the answer. And now listen to this now. Let's now define it. Let's put it all together. Faith is a practical expression of your, here it is, confidence. Your confidence in what?
In God and in His Word.
All right, follow me now. You're going to either find out how to work it or you're going to find out why I hadn't been working. Faith is a practical expression of the confidence you have in God and His Word. You did that tonight with the chair. You walked in here tonight and you expressed your confidence in that chair's ability to support you. So what'd you do? You took a seat. Now, if I got you off the mountain somewhere and you never saw a chair before in your life, you wouldn't have sat down so quick. Why? Because confidence has got to be developed. That's my son and Big O, come on. Confidence has got to be developed. You got to express, you know, somebody, you can't walk ahead at night talking about, I got confidence. You can do it, you can say it by faith, but you're still going to have to develop it. Express, it's a practical expression of your confidence in the Word. All right. This is my son. I've been knowing him all his life. I trust him. I trust him. I don't have to want to be, I would say, I don't have to worry about nothing. All right, now, just say for an example, let's just say I just met him.
How you doing, sir?
Just met him. I don't know him. Now, he has the same ability to do what he can do. The issue is my confidence. Confidence. But now watch this. If I keep spending time with him, and if I keep working with it, and I'm developing confidence, then it won't be long before I can do with him what I would say. What I can do with him, the same I do it. He has just as much of ability to do what he can do. The issue is my confidence. Let's call him prosperity. Let's call him healing. I have spent more time with prosperity and no time with healing, so I got more confidence where I spend most of my time. Faith is a practical expression of confidence. Thank you, guys. But confidence has got to be developed. You grow in it. That's why we're farmers. You can grow in it. This ain't magic. Come on, money. That ain't how it works. Hebrews 10, verse 35 says, cast not away your confidence. Why? It has the reward. Don't cast it away. Don't fling it away. The Amplified says, don't cast away your fearless confidence. So confidence without fear is going to be boldness eventually. All right, now watch this. How do you do that? How do you cast not away your confidence? Now, this is how you do this. Watch this. The next verse of scripture, verse 36, he tells you exactly what you need. Read it. You need what? All right, so you don't cast away your confidence. You need what? Now, patience is, Bible patience is not defined as putting up with. Like I was patient in traffic. Bible patience means consistently, constantly the same. How does that work? Every day I declare over my life and healing. I don't wait till I get sick before I say I'm healed. All right, so watch this now. Here's patience. By his stripes, I'm healed. Then I start feeling something. By his stripes, I'm healed. Then I go to the doctor and the doctor say, you got something. By his stripes, I'm healed. Doctor say, the x-ray don't look good. By his stripes, I'm healed. They admitted me in the hospital. By his stripes, I'm healed. They said I'd be dead in 2 weeks. By his stripes, I'm healed. All of a sudden, I start feeling better. By his stripes, I'm healed. They don't see the same thing on the x-ray. By his stripes, I'm healed. They discharge me. By his stripes, I'm healed. I ain't sick no more. By his stripes, I'm healed. Now I'm totally healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. See, while the circumstances change, I didn't change. I stayed the same. This thing works with our prosperity. I'm wealthy. Then the bill comes. I'm wealthy. Then the lights go off. I'm wealthy. Then they repossess the car. I'm wealthy. Then the lights come back on. I'm wealthy. Then you get a better house. I'm wealthy. Then somebody gave you a debt-free car. I'm wealthy. Now you're wealthy. I'm wealthy. You see, you cannot get the results unless you keep your confidence out on the field, and patience is going to be what's keeping your confidence out there so it can start keep working. All right, so what is confidence? Confidence is full trust and reliance. Trust is an expression of your commitment. So when I say that I am confident, I express my confidence not only in my reliance and my belief, but I express my confidence in my commitment to stay there. That's patience. I have confidence. You keep sitting in chairs, you're committed to it. I stay there. I find what that word say, I'm committed. I'm committed like that mountain's committed to that spot, like that tree's committed to that spot. I'm not gonna move. Pain may come, I'm committed. I'm being hated on, I'm committed. Tears coming out of my eye, I'm committed. I don't know what's gonna happen next. I do. You keep that word, you'll know what's gonna happen next. It's an expression of your commitment. For we walk by faith and not by sight. He's not talking about just your eyes. He's talking about your sensory mechanism. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I smell. I'm not moved by the report. I'm moved by that word. Okay, one more thing. You getting this? I am giving you the combination. I'm giving you the combination to raise your standard of living. I'm giving you your combination to get healed and get delivered. If you'll do what I say, all you got to do is go find the type of seed you want to grow. First John 5 says this, for this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Now I want you to point at your Bible and I want you to say this out loud. This is my victory.
This is my victory.
Over lack.
Over lack.
This is my victory.
This is my victory.
Over sickness.
Over sickness.
This is my victory.
This is my victory.
Over any type of bondage.
Over any type of bondage.
Don't let me find my title deed.
Don't let me find my title deed.
For then I have found my victory. So you got to go somewhere where you can get some victory. You got to go somewhere where you can get some word. I said you got to go somewhere you can get the word. Now I'm off TV now, so I can say what I want to say right quick before I close.
This morning, brethren, I'm going to preach to you from this text, this passage of scripture. Jesus wept. The title of my sermon this morning is called, Why Men Cry. You know, there are different types of cries. Babies cry. Mothers cry. Even puppies cry. Sometimes we all might cry. But I'm here to tell you that you can cry in the morning, cry in the evening, cry. For Christ's sake, amen. And thank God, doors of the church are open. Now, what I'm gonna do with that? What I'm gonna do with that when I got a bill due? Cry, I guess, just cry. Don't tell me it doesn't matter what church you go to. Your life is on the line based on where you are connected. You gotta be connected with somebody that's preaching the word of God, giving you some seed so you can take that seed, put it in your heart, and grow something. And when that bill comes, you'll know what to do. You'll open your mouth up and you'll say, my God is my supply house. He supplies all of my needs according to his riches. I'm prosperous, I'm wealthy, I'm rich. I'll never be broke another day in my life. But you gotta be in a position where it can cometh. And it can't come like that no more. Maybe that was all we knew for the time, but crying day's over. Now it's time for us to break out of this system of the world. And it is time for a holy fear to go over the earth. Because a mighty army has now awakened. And they know their rights in Christ Jesus. And they know their provisions. And they know how to operate in the kingdom of God. And they're not afraid of nothing. And they don't doubt and they don't murmur. They trust in their God. They have peace in their heart. They know the word of God. And they can intelligently respond to any attack of the devil and come out winners. We win. Now, go get your healing. Go get your wealth. Go get your business. Go get your job. All right, now watch this, watch this. How many of y'all believe God? How many of y'all believe the word? Well, start giving like you believe it. Start giving like you believe it. Quit searching around for a dollar. If the world told you it was a sure thing, you sell your house and everything to get in on it. And I'm telling you, a sure thing. The kingdom's a sure thing. Excuse me, it's a sure enough thing. Get in on it. Quit pitching pennies in the bucket. Write them six-figure checks out. Write them seven-figure checks out. I'm not telling you to do something I hadn't done myself. Why? I believe it. I believe it. I go buy a car. God said, that ain't your car. I said, who is it?
I bought it. What do you mean it ain't my car? He said, no, I want you. I need you to get that to somebody else. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All things come of thee, O Lord. Yes, sir. You can't be afraid to move the materials around where God tell you to move around. You got to be his distribution center. You sinner if I ain't got no money, want money, but scared of it. Man came to me one time, said he was a billionaire. I gave him $10,000, he almost fainted. I said, he ain't got no money. He ain't got no money. He was scared of it. The church so scared of it, they don't even want to hear it talked about in church. Because I'm scared that if I go to that church, that preacher, he may be stealing my money. And the ones that always say that, I ain't got no money now. It's time to break out. The church should be the greatest businesses in the city. This is what I'm saying. I know we're a church, but we should be outrunning everybody. There should not be needs in the churches. Every time we do something, it ought to be debt-free. God gave you a grace, and he gave you an anointing to advance the kingdom. And we've been spending more time using what he gave us to advance the world. That's got to stop. You use your talent to advance the world. You use your education to advance the world. You use your idea to advance the world. When it comes talking to the church, you want to know, am I going to get paid? The kingdom going to take care of you, but you got to be willing to use your grace to advance the kingdom. If you can sing, the kingdom ought to be first. If you got business savvy, the kingdom ought to be first. When you make it priority. I challenge my churches. I say, if you can act and we doing a movie, you need to come here before you go to Warner Brothers. And what happens? When you go here, then when you get ready to go to Warner Brothers, it's because the kingdom has opened up more doors for you than what you could have handled because you made the kingdom priority. We don't do that no more. We all but forgot about servanthood. I help you if you pay me. It's time me sit down, Bill. I'm through. No, I'm serious. I'm done. Man, I love you.
I talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amen. Come on, let's give another hand for Dr. Creflo A. Dollar Jr. Sit down for just a minute, please. All over the auditorium and also in our overflow areas, please stay seated just a moment. Don't get disorderly. Start leaving. That is such a country way to live.